sometimes. Tomorrow night came, and the witches went by a roundabout route to the castle with considerable reluctance.
"If he wants us to be here, I don't want to go," said Granny. "He's got some plan. He's using headology on us."
"There's something up," said McGrath. "He had his men set fire to 3 cottages in our village last night. He always does that when he's in a good mood. That new sergeant is a quick man with the matches, too."
"Ah, Daff said she saw them actors practising this morning," said Nanny Og,
who was carrying a bag of walnuts and a leather bottle from which rose a rich, sharp smell.
"She said it was all shouting and stabbing and then wondering who'd done it and long bits with people muttering to themselves in loud voices."
"Actors," said Granny witheringly. "As if the world weren't full of enough history without inventing more."
"They shout so loud, too," said Nanny. "You can hardly hear yourself talk."
She was also carrying, deep in her apron pocket, a lump of haunted castle rock.
The king was getting in free.
Granny nodded, but she thought it was going to be worth it. She hadn't got the faintest idea what Tom John had in mind, but her inbuilt sense of drama assured her that the boy would be bound to do something important. She wondered if he would leap off the stage and stab the Duke to death, and realised that she was hoping like hell that he would.
"All hail, what's name?" she said under her breath. "Who shall be king here, after?" "Let's get a move on," said Nanny. "All the sherry'll be gone."
The fool was waiting despondently inside the little wicket gate. His face brightened when he saw McGrath, and then froze in an expression of polite surprise when he saw the other two. "There's not going to be any trouble, is there?" he said. "I don't want there to be any trouble, please."
"I'm sure I don't know what you mean," said Granny regally, sweeping past. "Watch your jingle bells," said Nanny, elbowing the man in the ribs. "I hope you haven't been keeping our girl here up late o' nights."
"Nanny!"
said McGrath, shocked. The fool gave the terrified, ingratiating rictus of young men everywhere when confronted by importunate elderly women commenting on their intimately personal lives. The older witches brushed past. The fool grabbed McGrath's hand.
"I know where we can get a good view," he said.
She hesitated.
"It's all right," said the fool urgently. "You'll be perfectly safe with me."
"Yes, I will, won't I?" said McGrath, trying to look around him to see where the others had gone.
"They're staging the play outside in the big courtyard. We'll get a lovely view from one of the gate towers, and no one else will be up there. I put some wine up there for us and everything."
When she still looked half reluctant, he added, "And there's a cistern of water and a fireplace that the guards use sometimes, in case you want to wash your hair." The castle was full of people standing around in that polite, sheepish way affected by people who see each other all day and are now seeing each other again in unusual social circumstances, like an office party. The witches passed quite unremarked among them and found seats in the rows of benches in the main courtyard, set up before a hastily assembled stage. Nanny Og waved her bag of walnuts at Granny.
"Want one?"
she said. An alderman of Lancre shuffled past her and pointed politely to the seat on her left.
"Is anyone sitting here?"
he said.
"Yes," said Nanny.
The alderman looked distractedly at the rest of the benches, which were filling up fast, and then down at the clearly empty space in front of him. He hitched up his robes with a determined expression.
"I think that since the play is commencing to start, your friends must find a seat elsewhere when they arrive," he said, and sat down.
Within seconds, his face went white. His teeth began to chatter. He clutched at his stomach and groaned. The observant will realise that this was because the king was already seated there. It was not because the man had used the phrase "commence to start" in cold blood, but it ought to have been.
"I told you,"
said Nanny, as he lurched away.
"What's